As always, we ask for your prayers this morning. Appreciate the sweet prayer that's gone before, the dear brother. Means a lot to me. And thank God for his fellowship with our little church here. Means a lot to our little assembly. And thankful for the words that have been spoken. And give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory for all of them. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from Psalm 116. I'll read the entirety of the psalm in your hearing. Psalm 116. Psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Those who were with us last Sunday, I hope, recognize this verse from last Sunday that we made an effort to speak on Psalm 116. It's not usually that I come in and pick up something where I left off, and I hope that's not what I'm doing this morning. I hope and pray that's what God is leading and directing in our ways and thoughts, that we're not just going here because we finished up at a certain spot last Sunday and this happens to be another Sunday and we're picking it up, but rather that the Lord is directly leading us to this particular passage and to that which needs to be said to this congregation today. I know that I've tried a little bit to get away from this particular passage because I did use it last Sunday, but I do believe that's just as wrong as if I would go and try to pick out one to use, that I need to follow the leadership of the Lord, and as much as I know within me this morning, I feel led to this passage, so I do ask for your prayers. My thoughts particularly are upon verse 7, and really focusing on verse 7 as well as the rest of the psalm from that point on. Verse 7 has meant a great deal to me this week. It's been a verse that when I've had some situations and problems that would arise and come up that caused me to lose my joy for a little bit or not be at peace or at peace of mind or feel like I'm insecure or unsure or just the troubles that come as a result of getting up in the morning and going to work and living through the day and facing the problems in your family and in your home and on the job. And if you don't have problems in your home and in your family and on your job, you're probably not breathing air and walking on planet Earth. Those things are commonplace just as sure as we're in the world. And as sure as we're in the world, we need rest that can only come from the Lord. And God's little children not only have a rest that they find in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a rest that they learn by taking the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ on them and applying it in their life. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's a rest that's given by the Lord. And yet he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's a learned rest. A rest you labor to enter into. A rest that God's little children need in this world. That we need it every day. We need it this morning. I need to find rest in the Lord. And there is rest that we have in the Lord. There's rest that's been given in the Lord. And there's a rest that you and I sometimes leave that we need to return to. And that's what's under the consideration in this passage. He said, return unto thy rest. And I love to think about it being a rest that God has particularly given to us as His children. And particularly given to you as His child. It's not just a general rest that's given just in general to all of God's children. It's a specific rest that God's given for you as His child. You have a Father that has loved you. You have a Father who loved you in eternity past, who chose you in Christ before the very foundation of the world, who gave you life in and by His power, and has given you a life to live in glory and honor and praise unto the Lord. And that life, though it's a life that has a lot of trouble in it along the way, we're not talking about getting out of all your trouble. We're finding it's about finding rest and peace and joy in the midst of all the troubles and conflicts in this world. Now, I am also thankful to know there's a day coming where there will be no more trouble or sorrow or sadness or tears or any of those things. All of that will be wiped away, removed from us. And there is an eternal rest that's awaiting every little child of God. That rest is not one we will ever return to, because you'll have it forever in heaven and immortal glory. You'll not lose it. That's an inheritance that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you as His child. If you belong to the Lord, if you're His, that eternal rest is not something you're going to miss or lose any part of, but that's a home in heaven that the Lord has awaiting for His people. But He's talking about a rest that you and I sometimes go in and out of here in this world. I want you to think about that a little bit. Do you sometimes go in and out of that rest? Are you always at rest in the Lord? Are you always at peace in your life? Are you always trusting in Him as you ought? Are you always looking to Him as you ought? Are you like me? And there are times I'm trusting and find a great peace in trusting, but then it seems like the very next minute I get to say, like the man in the scripture, or the one in scripture who said, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. And I go in and out of that rest. Now that can be found for little ones. It can be found in the middle age life. Wherever you are, if the Lord has dealt with you, He says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Now notice, it's a conversation that the psalmist is having with his own self. He's talking to himself. Y'all ever go around and talk to yourself? And sometimes what you're saying to yourself is not very good. And sometimes what I say to myself is not very good. Sometimes I talk myself into trouble. I talk myself into unrest. Sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, oh boy, this is bad. This is not going to work out. This is going to mess up my day. Oh, this is going to mess up my week. Even to the point sometimes I say, this is going to mess up my whole life. Everything's like the old Hee-Haw song, gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery, as if my life is nothing but a problem and a pain. And when I come home talking to myself like that, it bleeds over to my wife, and you think that makes her happy and my home a joyful place? No. Sometimes she'll join in and sing right along with me the same old sad song. And instead of a solo, I'll get a duet. We're both singing along the way. How are we going to get through this? I don't know. How are we going to get through that? I don't know. And then, you know, it's something. What I want you to see is God's little children that have been given life in the Lord have been given life to be able to rest in this old troubled world. Even in 2014, even in the economy we're living in, even in the day and age that we're living in, even in the wicked, evil land that seems to be a blessed land, but a land that seems to be forgetting all of the good things that it has known in the past and going another way, our rest does not stand in anything but the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not in that rest, it's not His fault, because He has given us a rest that has not changed. Our Lord changes not. That's one thing the Bible will tell you. Anybody who truly preaches, they preach Jesus, or is going to preach a Jesus who's the same when? Yesterday and when? Today and how long? Forever. And that means He changes not. And if He is my rest, my friends, if we don't, and brothers and sisters, if we don't have Him as our rest, we truly don't have a rest. If we have a rest somewhere else, you're going to get let down. It's not going to hold up. I read a couple of those passages in Ecclesiastes 2 just last night. I was talking with one earlier, and they said I read those passages in 1st and 2nd, and I encourage you to read the 1st and 2nd chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. And you'll see the wise man Solomon there talking about trying to find happiness and joy and rest and meaning and purpose in life in all the things that you have as a natural man and a natural mind and a natural world. And you would think if anybody would have been successful in that adventure, it would have been Solomon, wouldn't it? Because Solomon not only had greater wisdom than any man around, and probably than any man that lives today, and outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, probably the most of all men that ever lived, he also had all the riches of this world. You know, sometimes I think, if I just had enough money to pay for this. I don't want all the money in the world, but sometimes I'd just like to have enough money to pay for this. You know, because I want this, and I want that, and I want some other thing. And sometimes I think, if I just had that, oh, I'd just feel better, or I'd be doing better, or my rest is disturbed at times, but not just about that, but about anything. Listen, I'll worry about anything. And I shouldn't. And you said, well, you taught this, you said this last week. Well, I need it again this week. If you do, come on along with me. If you don't, well, just chalk it up. I heard this last week and he's giving me another dose. I want us to understand that we need rest in the Lord. And he is a certainty for us. He's a surety for us. And Solomon said everything else is just vexation of spirit and vanity. And when I get it all, if I got all the wisdom, if I know everything there is to know, and I can get so smart that I know everything, all that does is make me no different than the fool. That when the wise man dies, he dies just like the fool. And when you're dead, you're dead. And when you're rich or whether you're poor, you're not going to take it with you. It's going to be turned over to somebody else, and you can keep it up and make it look so wonderful and go, oh boy, look what I've done. And turn it over to somebody who could care less about it, and in a little while, what you thought has built up forever is just nothing but ruins. And some of the greatest buildings that have been built in this world today stand as ruins to show you it's all vanity and emptiness. One day soon, this old world is going to melt with a fervent heat and all the elements in it. And there's going to be a better place that is already prepared, that you and I as God's children are going to go home to. And so our joy is not in this world. Our rest is not in this world. Our rest is not in the stuff of this world. Our rest is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He does not change. And He is my rest. I hope He's your rest right now, this morning. I hope He is. And if He isn't, I hope you will look to Him and say, Lord, Thou art my rest. Forgive me. I want to return. Talk to yourself. Return, O my soul, to Thy rest. Return unto Thy rest. What rest? The rest He gave me. Oh, I remember some times in my life where it's so dark and black, don't you? And I prayed, Lord, help me. And He came and shined a light in my life and allowed me just to be at peace. I've seen some things I thought could never be fixed, that He's fixed and healed and repaired. And breaches that were broken I thought could never happen, that He's done. Listen, He's the God who took the children of Israel across the Red Sea. He's the God who fed them with manna in the wilderness. He's the God who brought water from the rock. He's the one that causes the rain to come down and the sun to shine in our lives and gives us every good thing in our life, both natural and spiritual. And we deserve nothing, and He has shown us His mercy and His grace, and we owe Him every bit of the praise we can offer unto Him because of that. And I owe Him my life. May I live it to honor Him. May I live it to glorify Him. And may I be above going home gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, we laugh at that, but isn't it too real for us sometimes? Deep, dark depression. Yeah, feel it. And listen, the world would have you feel it. Your adversary would have you feel it. The adversary would have you feeling bad for yourself. The adversary would have you get in that low, deep, dark place. Because when the devil gets you there, you don't shine as the light that the Lord has made you to be. When the devil gets you there, you're not the salt that the Lord would have you and has called you and given you to be. Because we're not walking in the Spirit, we're walking in the flesh. And we've got a whole lot of that old flesh. And if you don't keep it down, it will rule your life. And it'll rob you. Listen, that eternal rest is awaiting every one of God's children. They will not miss that. But I'm telling you, between here and there, you and I got to live, don't we? And isn't it a whole lot better to live trusting in the Lord? He says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." Why? "For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." How good has the Lord been to us? He goes on in verse 8. And he starts right at the beginning of what the Lord has done for us. It says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." And that verse immediately brings to mind a very familiar verse to me, and I know to you, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. "The Lord hath delivered my soul from death." Here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, we understand where life comes from. Because without the Lord, there'd be no life. First of all, if you're breathing and you're alive today, it's the Lord who's made you. That's why you're here. And though men might think it's all other things, that's not true. If you are alive today physically, it's because God created you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And naturally, you are alive because the Lord made you. But I want you to know, just as sure as that's true, spiritually you're alive. If you're alive today, if you know the Lord, it's because He knew you in covenant even before the very foundation of the world. He loved you. And it says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins," or "and sins." Listen, we were separated from God. There would be no way you and I could get back into fellowship or favor with Him. We wouldn't have had a desire to be in favor with Him. We wouldn't have the ability to get in favor with Him. If He had not come where we were in that state of death and made us alive, we would have been eternally separated from Him forever in a place of torment, which is God's righteous judgment for sin. The wages of sin is death. And all of us had sinned and come short of the glory of God. God would have been just and right if He'd have left me right where I was. He would have not been at fault. I was the one who sinned, not God. He didn't make me a sinner. I sinned in disobedience to God and to the commandments of God. I could say, "Well, Adam got me in this mess," and maybe blame Adam. Well, you know, that's what Adam did. He blamed Eve. He said, "That woman that you made." Actually, he didn't blame Eve only. He blamed God, because he said that it's a woman you made. So really, he said, "God, if you hadn't made me this woman, I wouldn't have messed up and fell into this." But he's making excuse, just like you and I make excuse. Here, listen, I'll tell you how we got in the shape we were in. All of us are the children of wrath, even as others. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And we commit sin because we have a sinful nature. And if it was left up to us to get back on track, to get right with God, we would never do it, because we are dead in trespasses and sins. Notice it didn't say you were sick. And there's a difference, isn't it, between being sick and being dead. If you were sick, you might have been able to do something to get a little better. If there's life, there's hope. A lot of people say, "Well, as long as there's life, there's hope." I'm telling you, with men, if there's life, maybe there's some hope. But I'm telling you, we have a God that even in death there's hope, because when He speaks, the dead live. Isn't that good? Don't you believe one day that He's coming and there's going to be a voice heard? The voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead that are in the graves are going to come forth. And there's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And the Lord's going to speak, and those that are dead are going to rise again. But not only is that true, right now in this time world, those that are dead in trespasses and in sins, that is, that are dead as far as being separated from God and having no love of God, are changed as God speaks to them. They are regenerated. They are resurrected, in a sense, in that they are brought from a state of death to a state of life. And He does that with His powerful voice. In John 5 and 25, He says this, "The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And at that point, the dead are made alive. And what we read about in Psalm 116, with the Lord dealing bountifully for thee, with thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. I'm telling you, if he didn't give us anything else, and he did that, boy, what a blessing state we're in. You say, well, I don't have anything to be happy about. Do you know the Lord? If you do, it's because he knew you, and heaven's going to be your home. If everything in this world was nothing but torment and bad for us, oh, if there's a heaven awaiting, listen, this world is just a vapor, just a puff of smoke. It's only here for a little while, and we're soon going to be out of here. And if heaven was awaiting us, no matter what our lives would be like in this world, heaven would be such a beautiful, wonderful thing that we could be so thankful to God if there was nothing but pain and agony here in this world, that there's a heaven that awaits. That's why it's precious in the sight of the Lord of the death of his saints, because there is something far better that's coming. It's like the Lord saved the best for last. The last thing we have is going to be better than even what we have. But what I'm saying to you is, even right now, it's good. And you said, but brother, you don't know what all I'm going through. No, I don't know, but the Lord knows. I know there's not a step you take that he is not there right in the midst of that. He knows what's there before you take it. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. He loves you anyway. He's opening the doors for you that you need opening, and shutting the doors. And sometimes we're sitting there so mad because he shut a door, or so upset because this opened up and that didn't. I wanted this and he gave us that. I needed this. And really, we don't have a clue what we need or what the Lord... Listen, he knows what we need before we ask. That's why we have such a great God. When you rest in him, what he's done for you, there's a and return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord had dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. And then he says, mine eyes from tears. God's children are going to do a certain amount of weeping in this world. There's some people who believe that if you're a little child of God, you just stop crying now. You just put a smile on your face and you just go on in this world, and you never get sad anymore. You never weep anymore. You're never going to have any more needs. You just, if you get sick, you just pray and God will make you well. If you have a little trouble in this world, you just ask God. If you have enough faith, God's going to take you out of that. It's a name it, claim it religion. That's just like, I'm going to name it, then I'm going to claim it, and I'm going to say it is, whether it is or not. I'm just going to... And you know what it does? It makes you walk around in a lie. That's what it does. It's a bondage. I'm telling you, the true religion is what Job had when he had everything taken from him and he was under that great tribulation. And he said this out of his heart. I'm telling you, he found rest. We see Job in some trouble there, and he wept a lot. We see him in a lot. But he was right on track when he said this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm gonna look to him, and whether it goes this way or whether it goes that way, I want to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. If I pray for my loved ones and they get better, I want to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. But if the Lord sees fit to take them out of this world and deliver them that way. You see, he delivers them either way, doesn't he? He sometimes delivers them by making them better and healing them. And oh, have we not seen that? There are other times he says, no, there's a better thing awaiting than that kind of deliverance. I've got a deliverance much better than that. I'm going to take them out of this old troubled world altogether. And I'm going to carry them home to be with me forever. And that awaits them. And that's what he does. And sometimes our heart is broken, but he's right there also as that friend that will never leave us, giving us what we need. Listen, you couldn't get through this world without the Lord, and I can't either. And that's why the dear old wise man Solomon says, oh, everything else is vanity. But there is a way that's not vanity. Jeremiah talked about it. He says, thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Aren't you glad the Lord has delivered your feet from falling? Who? How many times have we been on right on the path to destruction, and the Lord has turned us? How many times has he kept us? Has Brother Stan preached so ably during our union meeting? His everlasting arms have been right there underneath us. And we're just along the road, sometimes murmuring and complaining, and God's mighty hand is right there in our life. And because of him, he has kept my feet from falling. Over in Psalm 56, we get another insight on that particular verse. Psalm 56 and verse 13. Says this again, and I love how the Psalms give you similarities as well as additional information when you go from verse to verse. Psalm 56 and verse 13 says this. And he's noticed that David here is talking in this passage in verse 1. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighteth daily. He fighting daily oppresses me." In other words, David said, I'm having a real hard time in this whole world. You ever feel like the world's going one way and you're going another way? You ever feel like I'm a stranger? I just feel like a stranger in this world. Only kind of crowds I like anymore are Primitive Baptist folks. God's little children. If I go to a crowd, we went to Hershey Park yesterday, it was fine as long as nobody else was there. We got there kind of early, but the longer I was there, the more people showed up, and the more uncomfortable I became eventually. So Sharon just looked at me and said, "You ready to go, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm ready to go." It's funny how you do that. It used to be I'd go to Hershey Park and want to stay all day and ride everything. Now I just walk by the rides and look and say, "Oh, I remember when I used to ride that. Wonder what I saw in it," and come on around. Now I look at this and look at that, and finally I get so it's crowded, I want to go. There's nobody to preach to and nobody to talk about the Lord. It's time to go on. Let's go. And I stopped by and got chocolate, and they even got so silly up there now, they don't even give you chocolate, they give you fruities when you come out. You know, you used to get chocolate when you go through the place. Now we're healthy conscience. I know I need to be healthy conscience, but please give me a little chocolate along the way. Listen, I don't want to just, I don't mean to be here to humor you. I just want you to know that there's, in all this world where there's so much that seems to be what's fun and what's important, and now all of that's good. Look, when you're young, that's good. But when you get old, that loses its attraction. When you get older, I'm not old yet, I'm just older. I'm old. You ask my kids, they say, "You old, you're really old." Now if I tell them how old I am, they really think I'm old. It loses its attraction. I love my dear wife more than I've ever loved her. And I love, I hope and trust is in the Lord. I have a kinship and a fellowship with my family that goes beyond bloodline. It's based in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I can talk to a family member about the Lord and get a response that lets me know we are kin in the Lord, that means everything. And if my life was just about our family, I'll tell you, it ain't so much. I've searched the line pretty good. We got a whole lot of things up our tree. The family tree is not unblemished. And by the way, I want you to all know you'll trace it right back to Adam. In Adam, you didn't do well. In Adam, you died. The only bloodline that's important is that which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are my sister, and you are my brother. And in the Lord, we have a fellowship and a kinship that's meaningful, that makes life worth living, that gives you joy and rest and peace in the midst of sorrow and heartache in this world, that'll hold you up in the storms. And I'm telling you, we shouldn't leave that rest. That's a rest He's given us, and you can find that every day in the Lord. And it's something we need to labor to enter into. Isn't that wonderful? There's a rest you labor to enter into. Labor to enter into that rest. And that's when you just see Jesus high and lifted up and know all is well. He says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death," in Psalm 56, verse 13. "Wilt not thou deliver my feet?" And here's a fact. He said, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." What does that mean? That means the Lord has given you life. Now I'm telling you, that's a big blessing. If the Lord's given you life, eternal life, there's a promise that goes along with that life that He will never leave you nor forsake you. that his hand is upon you, that when you call upon him, his ear is not heavy that he will not hear. And though you don't deserve it, when you call on him, he will answer. And he's pleased when we call on him. He's pleased when we go to him in prayer and look to him. And when you look to him, and you may not understand what the trouble is, but he knows already. Isn't it wonderful? What a friend we have in Jesus. Isn't it wonderful to go to him in prayer? He says, "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" In other words, ask the Lord this question. Lord, you saved me from death. Won't you take care? You're going to take care of me from falling. Sometimes I feel like I'm just not going to make it. You ever get there? Like, I don't think I'm going to make it. Sister Carol knows this is my first week back to school. She said, he sounds like he's been in a week of school. Those little ones comes in with every one of their needs. And you can't help but feel the burden they have. And you read through their records and through their things, you wonder how they got where they got and how they're doing what they're doing. And you realize what a place we're living in. And you go, Lord, how can we help them? How can I do anything to help this one? I'm telling you, in me I couldn't. But in the Lord, he's able to give us whatever I need to be the teacher I'm supposed to be. And whatever you are, he's called you to be, whatever it is. Listen, you say, well, I don't think I have a very important job. We just said everybody's job is not that important in the sight of God. And your job is just as important as everybody else if you're in the calling and the place God put you, isn't it? He didn't make everybody to be the same thing. Boy, we'd have a messed up body if the eye wanted to be the ear and the ear wanted to be the nose and the nose wanted to be the big toe. We'd have a messed up body. We need a big toe, but we need an eye and an ear and a nose. And the Lord has made us and called us to be what he would have us to be in this world. And I'm saying to you, you and I can't be that without him. And I need him to help me. And he is that help. And the minute I forget that, I've left my rest. I hope you're getting this. Don't leave your rest. Don't leave your rest for a moment. When some bad news hit you, don't leave your rest. Remember, he's especially your rest in bad news. His glory is greatly seen all the time, but it really shines when things look bad. The power of God really shines when it seems so difficult. Sometimes we think we're making our own way. You know, I'm doing pretty good today. I'm hanging in there. I got this down, got that down. Listen, we couldn't do a thing without him, could we? Not a thing. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? And then he says that I may walk before God in the light of the living. What are you walking in your life? Are you walking in the light of the living? What does that mean, in the light of the living? That means we're alive by the grace of God and we know it. And we see his light. We see his light every day in the trouble. We see the hand of God and what he's doing. We realize he's with me. Listen, God's with you all the time. But sometimes we forget he's with us. And we wonder, we come in front of something and we think, what am I going to do? Remember, you have the Lord with you to open that up and allow you to see and to know. He doesn't tell you everything. There are some things we don't need to know because he withholds those things. But everything you need to know about it, he'll show it to you. And when we trust in him, we can find peace along the way. Psalm 37 says it this way. In Psalm 37, in verse 3, he said, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. And do good. You know when you're doing good in this world? When you're trusting in the Lord. You can't do good and not trust in the Lord. And when you're trusting in the Lord, you do good. Somebody said, I just want to be good. You know how to be good? Trust in the Lord. You know how to mess up? Stop trusting in the Lord. You want to live right? Trust in the Lord. When I'm not trusting in him, I'm doing wrong. It's just that clear. I can't do anything right without trusting in the Lord. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. And so, that means, as sure as that's true, so shalt thou dwell in the land. That means you'll live in the land of the living. You'll see the blessings of God day in and day out. You ever have one of those days it just seemed like nothing went right? Well, it went right. You just wasn't looking at it. Isn't that true? You were given the benefits, you just didn't see them because you didn't have the light. You weren't walking in the light of the living. You were operating in the flesh rather than we were operating in the flesh rather than in the spirit. We need to remember his promises. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I believe the Lord will take care of us in a natural way, but I also believe God takes care of His children in a spiritual way. I believe He feeds His children. Feed you. Have you ever been so hungry and the Lord's just fed you? You ever gone to a meeting and felt so low and it just seems like the Lord blesses a minister that, you know, sometimes you may know him, sometimes you may not know him, sometimes you may not have expectations, but the Lord just blesses them sometimes to go right to the things you've been thinking about and the things you really need. That's why we need to come. Listen, we're not to forsake the house of God because you and I need to be fed. And when you miss, it's easy for us to miss those feedings. And the next thing you know, we're not trusting like we ought to. And rather than being the light and the salt, we cease to trust in the Lord and we become, we get in that state of unrest and no peace. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then verse 4, I love this verse. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. It's just delight in the Lord. You see that sun come up in the morning, just delight in Him. See Him, that sunset, delight in Him. See a storm, many times we get scared to death, don't we? We could just delight in it. See the power of God, delight in it. See the hand of God in your life, all over your life. Delight in it. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. And that means be at peace with what God gives you. Look to Him and lean upon Him. And when He opens the door, be satisfied with what He's given you. Learn to be content in whatever state you're in. Learn to be at peace about it. Sometimes I want everything different in order to have some rest. No, I need to find the rest in what He's done for me. Because listen, has He been good to you? The Lord has dealt bountifully with us. And He says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Some people said, if you'll just delight in the Lord, He'll give you everything you want. That's not what this verse says. It says, when your heart is in line with His heart and your mind is in line with His mind, and what you want is what He would have for you, then everything you ask Him, He will give to you because you won't ask for anything you don't need. And a whole lot of times when we're not on that way, I'm asking for a lot of things I don't need. I'll be satisfied most of the time. I will be satisfied all the time when I'm delighting in the Lord with what He's given me. Let me correct myself. I'll be satisfied with what He's given me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. That means I'm just going to leave it in the Lord's hands. Trust also in Him. And what does it say here? Maybe He'll take care of you? No, it says, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. That means as you've trusted in the Lord by faith, you're looked at through the blood of Jesus, and He will bring forth that as light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So are you doing that? Notice it says wait patiently too. I'm waiting sometimes, but you ever find yourself waiting, but it isn't very patient? Not so patient. You can have a whole lot. You can have a lot of patience waiting in the line to pick up your food if you're trusting and leaning upon the Lord. And really, have you ever sat there sat in a line going like, what in the world are these people doing? I mean, just. I'm right here. Don't they know I got to be over here at this certain time? And you just so. And does that help you get through the line any faster? Does it? You know what it does? It just makes you unhappy. And if anybody's in the car, they get unhappy with you. Where I could say, you know, you never know what the Lord may be keeping you from just by holding you up a little longer than you wanted to be held up. I want us to see that God is an ever-present help in every hour and every moment. He's especially there in the time of trouble. You've delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And here's a commitment, and this is godliness. He said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. May the Lord commit us today to help. Lord, help me to walk before the Lord. That means to realize you with me, Lord. And I want to walk in the land of the living. I want to remember He's on His throne. He's on His throne today. If I live tomorrow, He'll be on His throne tomorrow. And He'll be on His throne and continue forever and ever. And I want to remember that and walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. You know, isn't it different? Your speech, doesn't your speech change when you speak believing versus when you speak in unbelief? Doesn't your whole communication changes? We come to church, we don't want to hear a preacher that doesn't believe because he's not going to say the truth. We want one who's believing. And as he believes, he speaks. That means I believe the word and I speak what I believe. And that's when we want to hear what our communication that's of faith when we talk in the flesh. What a mess we make. May the Lord help us to communicate in his word by faith. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Now get this. And because of that, he said, I was greatly afflicted. We understand that as sure as you stand for what's right, the world's not going to like what you stand for. Those who are not the friends of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be your friend if you speak and walk and talk as he would have you to walk and talk and live. There will be those who hate you for that, and there's many of them. And this world is an untoward generation. You will stand out in a good way before God, but not. There's a sword and a separation that happens when we walk in such a way the Lord would have us to walk. We have to stand for that which is right. And in verse 11, he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Have you ever just looked at the world and thought, man, everybody's rotten? Sometimes we'll say that. Just everybody's rotten. Nobody's telling the truth. I want you to understand before God and compared to God, all men are liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. But I want you to know some men are telling the truth in this world. Who is it that's telling the truth? Not every. He said in his haste, all men are liars. Which means it looks like almost everybody's telling untruths. You ever just turn on the television and you hear untruth after untruth after untruth. And you turn this channel and it's on this one. And you turn this channel and it's on that one. And you can tell they're not telling the same thing. So somebody's not telling the truth. And if you listen to any man, any of them long enough, you'll see some untruth. Listen, but don't get the idea where you can't pay any attention. I know some people say, well, I can't pay any attention to any man. I'm not going to listen to any. I'll tell you, when they come speaking the word of God and declaring the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, thus saith the Lord, and substantiating what they're saying by the word of God, he says, let God be true and every man a liar. We can hear those kinds of communication. Listen, I've been in some meetings where I wouldn't say those men were liars. I said they preached the truth and they taught the truth. And I want to follow what they said. And what they said is different from what I'm hearing in this world. And it's the ways that we should walk in. And Jeremiah told us to do that. And we'll look at Jeremiah chapter 6 for just a second. And the way of the Lord that brings rest. He said in verse 16 of Jeremiah 6. He says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. You see, there are many paths that aren't the truth, but there is a path that is the truth. And that is not a new path, it's an old path. And stand in all the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? There is a good way. And when you see that good way, what are you supposed to do? Just look at it? No. He says, and walk therein, and what will you find when you do what God says and the way God has directed you? That's that good way. Walk therein. It says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But notice the children of Israel here, for they said, we will not walk therein. God's little children can be disobedient. Let us not be like that. He said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Shouldn't we be praising him? Every opportunity, shouldn't we join together and sing the hymns and honor and glorify the Lord? Shouldn't we be sharing this wonderful truth with others of God's little children and when they're in trouble and when they're in need? Shouldn't we be telling one another, reminding one another how good the Lord's been to us? Listen, God's little children get down in this world. They need to hear that from others of God's little children. And he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's saying I want to live and walk in the salvation the Lord's given me. Take up his cross and follow me. And that's not a one-time thing. That's not something you just do and it's done. It's something every day you get up and say, Lord, help me today to walk as thy child. Help me to remember that. And when I forget it, Lord, remind me. Keep me mindful of it. Remind one another along the way till it comes our time to leave this old world. And I know everything in this world seems to be vexation and vanity and vexation of spirit, but I'm telling you, the things you have in the Lord, those relationships, that kinship, that fellowship, is not vanity. It's not a waste of time. It's the only and the most important and the only important part of the things in this world. What a blessing it is. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you, and we love you.